Welcome to Behind the Great Wall on the SOH Network. I'm Daniel Tang. The China we know today is the leading world power, but behind its influence, behind its wealth, and behind its political power stands the Chinese people, who in modern times face a range of social, political, and economic issues. On Behind the Great Wall, our team of SOH reporters in China brings you their voices and their stories. In this episode, the Chinese leadership attempts to refute rumors of infighting, and the Politburo Standing Committee may be reduced from 9 members to just 7. But first, many people know of the June 4th student democracy movement, which ended in the horrific Tiananmen Square massacre. Nowadays, the Hong Kong Red Cross believes 900 peaceful demonstrators were killed in the subsequent military crackdown, with 8,000 injured. Many people, however, may not know of the unsung heroes involved in the Tiananmen Square massacre and who showed their support to the students and demonstrators, only to end up paying the price. Many would lose their positions, be purged from the Communist Party, or end up fleeing the country altogether. In this first story, we revisit the tale of Fang Lizhi, who fled to the US following the massacre. Fang Lizhi recently passed away, renewing calls for redress for the Tiananmen Square massacre. Craig Richter with this story.
Fang Lizhi was vice president of the Chinese University of Science and Technology and a well-known physicist. In 1986, during the beginnings of the student movement, Fang was one of three leaders, together with Liu Binyan and Wang Ruowang. In 1987, Fang was kicked out of the Chinese Communist Party and criticized nationally. After the June 4th massacre in 1989, Fang and his wife fled to the United States Embassy in Beijing to seek refuge. They left China a year later. Sheng Xu spoke with SOH. Fang's departure is shocking and painful for us. He was with us during the calls for reform in China in the 1980s, the democracy movement in 1989, and the massacre on June 4, 1989. When he came to America, he was very active for a while, and he came to Toronto twice. Later on, he focused on his academic research and seldom appeared in public. But he is such a monumental figure, a figure whose passing will be saddening to people in their 40s and 50s. Shang Xu continued, "When people hear the news, they will recall the calls for democratic reform in China in the 1980s, including the dissenting opinions of people outside the government. People will look back at the 1989 democracy movement and the June 4th massacre. The topic of the 1989 democracy movement is still taboo in China. I believe his death today will further push the public to seek a redress of the June 4th incident and to kickstart democratic reform in China. When this kind of sentiment among the people starts to rise, it is a force to be reckoned with in Chinese society." Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao has made several statements in recent times calling for political reform and re-evaluation of the June 4th incident. Sheng Xu's take on this is, if the Chinese communist regime starts to re-evaluate this incident, if they do it on their own, that's good, and we would welcome that and not object to it. But our appeal will not stop at their simply re-evaluating this. We will strive to see a social system that will ensure such incidents never happen again. It is believed Fang Lizhi's biggest regret was he couldn't live to see the day democracy is established in China. Fang's death may not immediately kickstart China's move to democracy, but it can cause people to reflect on the issue. Craig Richter, SOH Network.
You are listening to Behind the Great Wall on the SOH Network. I'm Daniel Tang. Our next two stories are focused on the recent major political scandal in China. Politicians are moving fast to secure their positions, and it seems many are moving to undermine the factional power of former President Jiang Zemin, but we'll have more on that later. Rich Crangshaw brings us this next story with insight from former editor of Economics Weekly, Gao Yi, who's been keeping a close eye on the situation.
On May 9th, the various major Chinese communist media such as People's Daily, Liberation Army Daily, and Beijing Daily newspapers issued statements in an attempt to refute rumors. Ms. Gao Yu, a former deputy editor of Economics Weekly, believes that such large-scale attempts by the Chinese Communist Party to refute rumors is a direct reflection of the fierce infighting going on amongst the central leaders. These power struggles are taking place in a black box. Gao Yu believes that the scandal and ousting of Bo Xilai was the catalyst that brought this infighting to the surface. Why do they suddenly want to squash rumors, arrest people, and block internet sites? Many newspapers are writing lengthy editorials so as to avoid rumor mongering. I believe the fear of rumor reflects the intense struggle within the Chinese Communist Party. If the government was transparent, rumors would collapse on their own, and the impact of these so-called rumors would have been understated and indiscernible. But now the people who didn't know about it now do. Gao Yu pointed out that on March 15, 2012, the public learned of Bo Xilai's removal from office through official channels. Since the Bo Xilai event, the only information the public has had was issued by Xinhua News Agency on the 15th, which was all of 50 characters, including the punctuation marks. Gao Yu says the so-called refuting rumors by officials are not necessarily about refuting rumors, but rather a way of preventing information from getting to the public. It is, however, impossible to keep it completely sealed off. The government can easily create a rumor because it isn't transparent, and as to whether something is a rumor or not isn't up to the government to say. Seeing is believing, as the saying goes. So if there are military vehicles doing strange maneuvers, how can that be explained away, especially when it is on the 5th of April, a potentially sensitive day? It is just like the Chinese communist to handle problems the same old way, operating in a black box. They arrest six people today, and in the future, there will still be six people in the situation, and they won't know how many there are. Rich Crankshaw, SOH Network.
The shuffling and infighting in the Chinese Communist Party's top leadership circle is heating up further as the 18th National Congress approaches, and members are vying for a seat in the Politburo's Standing Committee, the nine-member body that governs the country. But it looks like the elite group at the top of the party's hierarchy may be reduced to only seven, making for an interesting new political landscape. The ousting of former Chongqing Party chief Bo Xilai has escalated the party's power struggle between the two main factions, Hu Jintao and Wen Jiabao leading one side, and the former party head Jiang Zemin and domestic security chief Zhou Yongkang on the other. Bo Xilai was a candidate for the Politburo Standing Committee, chosen by Jiang Zemin to replace outgoing Zhou Yongkang at the party's 18th National Congress this autumn. But this has now changed. Mia Chen with more.
Chinese media are making lists and speculating who will become the next generation of PSC members. The South China Morning Post recently said many people believe the removal of Bo has strengthened the power base of party leader Hu Jintao and Premier Wen Jiabao, and it is likely their trusted allies will make the new list. The report also said that more party officials have requested that the number of PSC members be cut from 9 to 7 so that decisions and policies can be implemented faster and better. Actually, prior to the 16th Party Congress, the PSC had been a 7-member committee. It was former party leader Jiang Zemin who added 2 extra members. According to Chinese dissident Song Yuanxuan, who lives outside China, Jiang pushed the appointments of Li Changchun and Luo Gan, as those two men would continue Jiang's persecution of Falun Gong and support Jiang, Song told the Epoch Times. Li Changchun, as the head of the Central Propaganda Department, has played an important role in controlling media and guiding public opinion in China. If not for Li Changchun's role as both propaganda minister and PSC member, Hu would have been able to directly arrange the Central Propaganda Department to influence the public opinion himself, Song said. Zhou Yongkang and Luo Gan, the current and former heads of the country's domestic security apparatus, The powerful Political Legislative Affairs Committee are Jiang's dedicated allies and have remained the main force behind the persecution of Falun Gong and of dissidents. In addition, Zhou is still a member of the PSC. In the past 10 years, the power of the PLAC has expanded rapidly and enormously, controlling public security, the courts and the procuratorate, the armed police, as well as judiciary organs such as forced labor camps, and has therefore become a second power center that has been threatening and weakening the power of Hu Jintao. Song predicts that during the upcoming 18th Party Congress, Hu may announce the removal of two PSC members. After years of suppression by the Jiang faction, the reduction would help Hu to remove their influence within the party completely, he said. Song said when Hu Jintao came to power, except for Wen Jiabao, the rest of the seven PSC members all had close ties to Jiang Zemin. After stepping down from his post as General Secretary of the CCP, Jiang still remained as the head of the Central Military Commission. Among the current generation PSC members, only Vice Premier Li Keqiang belongs to Hu's Youth League faction, who therefore has been isolated and impotent in the party, Song said. Mia Chen of SOH Network. In the past 10 years, the power of the PLAC has expanded rapidly and enormously, controlling public security, the courts and the procuratorate, the armed police, as well as judiciary organs such as forced labor camps, and has therefore become a second power center that has been threatening and weakening the power of Hu Jintao.
And that brings an end to Behind the Great Wall for this week. If you'd like to listen or download our podcast, you can visit behindthegreatwall.sohnetwork.com. There you can also read our transcript, listen to previous episodes, and link to other programs on the SOH Network. Also, if you have any comments or queries, feel free to leave a message on our main website. That's Behind the Great Wall for April 20th, 2012. And I'm Daniel Tang of the SOH Network.